You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine, along with co-host Pat Traina. And we actually have a football game to talk about this morning, Patty.
Yay! It's about time, right? It seems like it's been forever. And, you know, it wasn't, if you're looking at the score, it wasn't a very positive game. But you got to remember, it's preseason. The games don't count. What you're looking for is to evaluate. And there was plenty of things to evaluate. Plenty of positives, plenty of negatives. And I'm looking forward to breaking it all down.
Definitely, Patty, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at quarterbacks. We're going to look at Saquon Barkley. We'll talk about the different position units. But, you know, like you, I don't know why people flip out about the score of a preseason game. I had people in my Twitter timeline last night going, "Oh, my God, we lost to the Browns."
Yeah, I understand it. It's been a while since the Giants, you know, have played a football game. And some people, you know, I guess they don't really get the grasp that it's, you know, it's a preseason game. It's a time for the coaches to evaluate more than anything. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, people are going to root for or look at what they want, and that's fine. That's what makes the world go around. But again, the purpose of preseason is for the coaches to evaluate all the work that they put in the spring and the work they have put in thus far up to in the summer.
Yeah, Patty, you know, I can't remember the last time the results of a preseason game actually mattered. You know, so, you know, they don't count in the standings, so it does the final score doesn't make any difference. But, you know, with that said, let's get into, you know, some of what we saw last night. And I think we have to start with that nice little running back that the Giants have, as Odell Beckham refers to, Saquon Barkley. That was a nice little way to introduce himself to the NFL last night.
Yeah, it sure was. And what I really liked about that run is that when he initially took the handoff and approached the line, there was nothing there, and he shuffled to his right. He kept shuffling to his right, and then he found a hole, and he just hit that hole with such an impact, and then boom, he was off and running to the races. And I found it kind of, you know, humorous in a way that last night Eli Manning after the game said, "Hey, it's just one run," and I got to thinking, yeah, it's just one run. No, we shouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame just yet, but if he can string together several of those types of runs, I bet you any amount of money that Eli Manning is going to be one of the happiest guys playing quarterback in the NFL, because that means he's probably not going to have to throw the ball 600 plus times per season.
Yeah, Eli Manning has, you know, to say the least, an interesting sense of humor. And last night, his reaction to the Barkley run was, you know, "Let's not go berserk. It was a nice run." And, you know, that got a chuckle out of me. But, you know, the thing that I liked about the run was, you know, young running backs, when they don't see what they initially hope to see, young running backs tend to, you know, to try to break a play to the outside right away. You know, Barkley was patient on that run. He looked for something, and he stayed in the middle of the field until he broke through the line of scrimmage. You know, he didn't give up ground and try to get outside. You know, he stayed north and south upfield, you know, until he broke free.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like, dare I say, shades of Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers. I mean, he looked like a veteran running back. And you know, and what I like about Barkley is that even after the game, he was humble about it. He wasn't puffing out his chest. He wasn't, you know, basically saying, "Okay, my career's over because I just, you know, cracked a 39-yard run, probably the longest." I think that the longest run since Orleans Darkwood put up two long runs of 40 plus yards last year. So yeah, I mean, I like the direction they're headed with this kid, and you know, hopefully the best is yet to come.
Sure. And, you know, Rodney Hampton went 90 yards the first time he touched the ball as a Giant. So, you know, Barkley's got a little ways to go there. You know, where's the 90-yard run, Saquon?
Hey, now, we got to be patient a little bit at a time.
I know, Patty. And speaking of being patient, let's turn to the quarterback play last night, specifically the two young quarterbacks, Davis Webb and Kyle Lauletta. Now, you know, we both know, we talked about it during the game last night. We'll start with Davis Webb. He struggled last night, and it seems like, you know, Giants Twitter, the Giants universe was ready to, you know, to jump off the bridge, you know, and you know, convinced that he's terrible. He can never succeed, Eli Manning. You know, he can't complete a pass, you know, whatever. But, you know, it wasn't a good night for Davis Webb. But let's remember, he hadn't played in a game in a year. I think, you know, my take, and I think Pat Shurmur's take, was his emotions got a little bit of the best of him last night. And he wasn't going to prove anything one way or the other last night. He's a young quarterback, you know, who needs to play, needs some patience. He needs some snaps. And he showed you last night that he still has a lot of growing to do.
Right. And, you know, if you remember leading up to this game, when Davis got onto the podium and he spoke to the media, what was the thing he said was his biggest challenge? Answer? He said, I have to learn to be aggressively patient. I have to let things come to me. And last night, you know, unfortunately for him, it was easier said than done. He was all over the map. You could tell he was very jacked up for the game. He admitted as much afterwards. But you know what? This is a kid who, you know, I was talking to him a little bit after the game one-on-one, and I was joking with him. I said, so what do you do now? And he says, hey, I go home. I get my hands on this film, and I get right into it. He says, I will not make the same mistakes again. And he said, I'm just going to, you know, keep working to get better and better. So I understand, you know, that fans are concerned because, you know, look, Eli Manning is, you know, love him or hate him, he's the best quarterback they have on the roster. And I don't think that's even close to debate. Even if you were to ask the young quarterbacks that, I think they would agree. But with that said, one game does not mean that you have a bust on your hands. Now, if you start to see a pattern develop where Davis Webb continues to be jumpy and all over the map, then we get concerned. But, you know, I had people last night on Twitter say to me, oh, you know, why didn't the Giants take Baker Mayfield? Well, number one, Baker Mayfield wasn't even on the board when the Giants drafted. So that argument you could just toss out the window right now. And number two, I mean, look, you got to have balance in your offense. You got to have a run game, and you have to have a good passing game. The Giants have the potential for a good passing game with the weapons they have. Odell, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, you know, Red Ellison, and now Saquon Barkley, and who, by the way, is going to hopefully give them that boost in the running game and make that offense more balanced. So for those who were crowing about, oh, why didn't they take a quarterback? Why, you know, look at Davis Webb. You know, let's get off the ledge here and just look at it, you know, the big picture.
You know, it goes back to what we talked about at the top of the show, Patty. It's a preseason game. It's about development. It's about, you know, figuring out where guys are. You know, Davis Webb's a young guy, needs to play, needs snaps. He needs game situations. You know, he was, you know, overly excited last night. And I think it showed. A lot of his throws were high. Some of them were wide. You know, a couple times he forced balls into places where he probably shouldn't have. But you know what? He's still, you know, for all the good things he showed in the spring and so far in training camp, he's still a young second-year quarterback who's never taken an NFL snap that matters, and he still has a ways, you know, a long ways to go in his development. I liked his demeanor, you know, after the game last night. He was relaxed. He said, you know, he said, I know I can make those throws. I was really, you know, I was really amped up. You know, for me, that's the question that I want to see, you know, over the next two or three preseason games is, can he settle down? You know, can he get his emotions under control and just play football and let the arm talent, you know, that he does have, and let that show.
Exactly. I mean, to write off a guy at this stage of the game, it's just, you know, you got to see more. And, you know, look, you were there. A lot of fans were there. In the beginning, Davis Webb practiced well. Now, he hit a little bumpy patch over the last few days where, he, you know, he wasn't as good as he was earlier in the summer. But you live and you learn. And you know, again, when I start seeing a pattern develop to where he's constantly bad, constantly overthrowing guys, constantly all over the map, then I'm going to get concerned. But for one game, you know, I'm not ready to say, oh, my God, let's panic.
You know, before we move on to Kyle Lauletta, the more so than some of the erratic throws last night, the one play that bothered me was at the end of the first half when, you know, when Webb and the Giants mishandled the clock at the end and weren't able to get off a field goal. I think they had 13 seconds left in the half and completed a pass inbounds when they had no timeouts left and were unable to get the clock stopped, unable to spike the ball. I mean, I thought, you know, that's a situation where a quarterback has to know that if he's going to throw the ball, he has to throw it. You know, he's either got to throw it away or he's got to complete a pass right at the sideline where his receiver can get out of bounds. But again, that's a young player's mistake. It's a mistake that comes, you know, from a guy who hasn't, you know, been in that situation at the NFL level. It's one that should get better with time. As much as I thought it was the most egregious mistake that Webb made last night, you know, I think it's one that you just grow from and learn from, and I don't think we'll see that from him again.
You know, it's interesting, Ed. I did ask Davis about that play, and I got to be honest with you. The answer he gave me, I was a little disappointed in. I said, Davis, what was your thought process on that play? And I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He says, well, you know, the other team knows, you know, what the deal is and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but couldn't you have chucked that ball out of bounds? He says, well, we still had one timeout, and I was looking to move the ball a little closer. So I can understand that, but that goes back to something that he also told me for an article I posted on Forbes, and that is that he just wants to get that ball downfield. There's I don't know if there's just an internal clock in his head that says, oh, my God, I got to get the ball downfield. I got to get us on the board. I mean, the patience has to develop. And that's something that, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. So I think once Davis Webb develops that patience and realizes that, no, you don't have to do everything, you know, every time, that you can, I guess, have a throwaway play here and there if it means better clock management, I think that's when he's going to really start to, you know, take his game to the next level.
Patty, let's talk about the other young quarterback, fourth-round pick, Kyle Lauletta, came in last night, you know, midway through the third quarter, didn't play as many snaps as Webb did, you know, but I thought, you know, considering I think he came in the game and the Giants had the ball in the 9-yard line, the second possession, I think they were on the 9 or 10-yard line. Lauletta, you know, to me, you know, I'm not going to make a big deal about, you know, 10 throws, 9 throws, whatever he made, you know, but what impressed me about Lauletta last night is something that Mike Shula has talked about. And that's the fact that he came into, you know, a difficult situation, backed up, first time he's been in an NFL game, and he was calm. He didn't seem to be, you know, jittery and all over the map. I thought he played with some poise. And that was the thing, you know, when you contrast, you know, what we saw from Davis Webb, to me, that, you know, that was the thing, you know, that I found to be the difference between the two guys last night.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that, Ed, is that right now, despite what Pat Shurmur might have said in the past, there's really not a whole lot of pressure on Kyle Lauletta like there is on Davis Webb. And by that, I mean, Lauletta is a rookie. He's going to come in. He's going to go through an acclimation period. And if it follows suit like all the other rookies that are not drafted in the first round, it's going to take him a full year before he's really up to speed at the NFL level and the NFL concepts and whatnot. Davis Webb, by contrast, he's been in the NFL now a year. He's had his acclimation period. He is now, you know, believed or projected to be the number two quarterback behind Eli Manning. And those are some pretty big shoes to fill, if you think about it. If anything were to happen to Eli Manning, that's a huge, huge task for anybody to feel. To accomplish. So I just wonder if maybe subconsciously that's in the back of Davis's mind to where, hey, I've seen Eli be a gunslinger all his career and make these throws and do this and do that. I got to do that. And I think what's important is that Davis needs to be Davis and not try to be Eli. He's never going to be Eli. Let's put that out there right now. I mean, there's only one Eli Manning, you know, just like there's only one Davis Webb, there's only one Kyle LaLetta, there's only one Alex Tanney. Each guy brings his own uniqueness to the table. So I think once Davis settles down a little bit, he's going to play better. And I fully think that he will turn it around, you know, and improve when they take the field for Detroit. Again, I'm not ready to write him off. I know some people think I'm a Davis Webb homer. I'm just calling it the way it is. I'm not ready to give up on a guy after one poor game, just as I'm not ready to anoint a guy for Canton after one great game.
Oh, Patty, I agree. You know, you obviously, and I've said it, you obviously don't, you know, overreact to one game. You don't all of a sudden say, oh my God, Kyle LaLetta should be number two and Webb should be number three. And you don't say, you know, you can't overreact to, you know, to basically what amounted to a half for Davis Webb and a little bit less than a half for Kyle LaLetta. I thought that the thing that struck me, you know, as I think about it and on my ride home last night, the thing that struck me was just the contrast in emotions and the contrast in the two guys in their ability to handle those emotions, you know, on the field last night. It was funny because I did get a chance to talk to LaLetta last night, and I thought it was interesting that he said, you know, he was calm, he was, you know, he felt good. He said that for him, he feels like games are easier than practices, and I'm not quite sure, you know, why he feels that way. I just think he said he's really hard on himself, and he said in games he just enjoys it and doesn't feel as much pressure, you know, as he does in practice sometimes. I thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, you know, two young guys, two developing guys, you know, guys that we'll see a lot more of this preseason. And, you know, they'll both be interesting to watch.
Yeah, again, you know, a lot of football is still ahead. You know, the coaches have until, I think, September to decide on how they're going to fill out the depth chart going into the season. So, you know, still, you know, stick around, guys. I mean, there's still a lot more. And you know, hopefully we start to get a better beat on the trends that are developing as far as the ups and downs of the players. I mean, Kyle LaLetta, I thought, had the better showing. But as you pointed out, not as many pass attempts, not as much playing time. But a positive start. And I was glad, by the way, that Shermer was able to get all the quarterbacks some action last night, which was a problem last year, I know, for McAdoo in getting all the quarterbacks work. So, look, that's only going to help them as they get into practice. Because if you don't get an opportunity to perform what you've been practicing, how do you know what you have to work on?
Patty, let's turn to any other thoughts on the offense, you know, whether it's the running game, the offensive line, the wide receiver competition, anything else on the offensive side of the ball that struck you as important or that you really feel like we need to discuss this morning?
I just think the offensive line, I think we have to touch a little bit about, you know, the first team offensive line. Other than the ones, now, actually, let me preface this, that they played about, what, eight or nine snaps together, the first team line. But right, other than for one play, and that was, the final play of the series they were in, where Eli Manning got sacked and there was a miscommunication I asked John Jalapio about that. He was the starting center. I said, you know, what went wrong on that play? And he goes, you know, the standard answer, I got to look at the film and talk to the guys, because he wasn't sure if it was just, you know, did Patrick Omame mess up? Did he mess up? You know, was it a combination of all three? I think Jonathan Stewart missed a block, failed to pick up a blitz on that play. But, you know, for the most part, I thought the first team offensive line held their own. They were opening up holes. They did fairly well with pass protection. Now, again, it's a small sample size, but, you know, it was positive that it wasn't all over the place and it wasn't a mess.
Yeah, Patty, you know, it's interesting. I think Pat Shurmur said, you know, in his press conference last night, I think he said that he thought, you know, that on the sack of Manning, he thought there might have been a little bit of a miscommunication between John Jalapio and Jonathan Stewart on who was picking up what in the blitz. But, you know, the thing of it is, this, as we've tried to say before, this is a brand new offensive line with four new pieces, with, you know, Eric Flowers moving from left to right. You know, these kinds of things in preseason games, these are the kinds of things that you need to see, the looks that you need to see, you know, so that you can learn from them and hopefully, you know, be able to pick up that blitz, you know, when it counts in a regular season game. So, you know, all in all, you know, good work from the offensive line overall. I'm not going to flip out about one sack. You know, obviously, you know, we'll be much more critical of those kinds of things if Eli's getting sacked, you know, three or four times a game and he's under tremendous duress once the regular season starts. But for me, it's like, okay, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen when it really matters. And we move on. But as you said, I thought a positive start for a new group.
For sure.
Patty, let's turn to the defense. We'll talk a little defense, a little special teams. The highlight for me on defense had to be the run defense. You know, the Giants have talked about building a wall against the run. And obviously, I think we only saw two or three series from the starters. But we saw good work, you know, from all of the guys across the defensive line. I think that Cleveland only ran for 50 yards on 33 carries, you know, which is roughly, what, a yard and a half per carry. And obviously, I don't think you're going to carry that average through the entire season. But I thought a really good start for the Giants in terms of the run defense.
I agree. And, you know, I wrote this as one of my observation points late last night. One of the duos that I kept seeing that I just thought they played phenomenally against the run in the limited snaps they had, but Damon Harrison and B.J. Goodson, they for whatever somehow kept teaming up to stuff guys who were trying to come up the gut, and I tweeted it, I know, at least once last night, and then I went back and I looked at my notes and I saw it that. You know, there were a couple plays where they did that. I really like that combination because B.J. Goodson is a downhill linebacker, a thumper, who I think is going to be very, very good against the run. He showed flashes of that last year before his leg injury. And, you know, he continued to show that last night in the limited time that we had, that he was in, rather. And as far as, you know, Damon Harrison, I mean, what can you say? The man is still one of, if not the best run stoppers in the game. But I think it's going to be important because, you know, now that he has some supporting cast around him, you know, Goodson and then to, you know, his left and right, B.J. Hill, Dalvin Tomlinson, you know, the other linebackers behind him to stuff the run. I'm just hoping and wondering if maybe that's going to take some of the onus off of Damon Harrison so that he doesn't necessarily have to get himself beat up all the time. Now he's got kind of like a cavalry around him, if you will, to where he doesn't have to, you know, run down guys all the time and do it all himself.
Yeah, Patty, you know, the one thing that was interesting to me last night, you know, when we talk about the run defense, I did think the run defense played really well. I wanted to mention, you know, Robert Thomas, and it's not, you know, necessarily his run defense, but I got a huge kick out of what he said last night about his sack of Baker Mayfield. I'm not sure if you saw that. You know, he was pretty funny about it. He basically said, you know, he was about to get there, and he said the guy's got to go, and I don't want to fall on him because there's all these rules, and he said, so I just threw him away. I just threw him away.
You know, I have a word on Robert Thomas. You know, it's interesting. In the springtime when Damon Harrison wasn't around, A.J. Francis got a lot of those snaps at the nose tackle spot. And just, you know, since summer camp has started, I think Robert Thomas has gotten his share of the opportunities. And you know what? I think he's been one of the most underrated players on the defense. He's really impressed me. I got to admit, when I made up my initial 53-man roster, I had doubts about whether or not he might be on this team. And again, I, you know, sticking to the idea that, you know, you don't want to get too excited over one game, just taking into consideration that one game along with the practices that he's had, he's really, you know, come on in his own way.
Yes, he has, Patty. And, you know, the Giants are, you know, Dave Gettleman has said multiple times that he wants to build, you know, some depth. He wants to build a rotation along that defensive front. And, you know, guys like Robert Thomas, guys like Josh Morrow, who's, you know, going to be suspended for the first four games, guys like A.J. Francis, you know, all of those guys are going to be important, you know, so that, you know, guys like Damon Harrison and Dalvin Tomlinson don't play so many snaps that they're worn out, you know, by the second half of the season. So good start for that front group, Patty, but to be honest with you, not so good of a start for the guys covering covering the passes for the Giants last night.
No, not at all. You know, David Njoku, I think that's how you say the last name, mm-hmm. The tight end for the Cleveland Browns, 2 touchdowns last night. The problems against the tight ends continue, and let me just take a look at the stats here. I think he was the third leading receiver. He caught 2 or 3 passes, 46 yards, but his 2 receptions both went for touchdowns, and he had a long of 36. That can't keep happening. And I know on the first one, somehow he was isolated against Alec Ogletree in coverage. I think that was a play in which the Giants brought the heat, and the heat didn't get home. And I believe Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback at the time, and he connected with Njoku, who just simply made Alec Ogletree look silly on that particular play. But, you know, the other thing that I was concerned about with the defense was I thought that the first team secondary was a little shaky last night. I saw, you know, Eli Apple, for example, miss or take a bad angle on a tackle attempt. I think that was the play before Njoku's first touchdown. You know, Darian Thompson didn't exactly overwhelm me with his play. And then the backups, you know, the depth, you know, we saw Ryan Stewart, for example, take a bad angle. And there was a Leonard Johnson, the guy they just picked up. He had a play where he missed a tackle that went for a long run. So just a little bit of sloppiness, I think, from the defensive secondary. And I think that's probably still a work in progress for them.
Sure. You know, cornerback depth has been a question mark, you know, ever since we started looking at the team that the Giants were putting together. And what we saw last night, you know, regardless, I know Eli Apple gave up a big play. You know, as you said, Janoris Jenkins gave up a big play, I think, on Tyrod Taylor's first pass of the night. You know, regardless of what happened with those two guys, I think those two guys will be all right. But last night did nothing, and I know Dante Dion didn't play, William Gay didn't play. Last night really did nothing to ease any of the concerns, you know, about the backups, you know, at that position.
Yeah, I mean, coming in, that was a concern. That, you know, the Giants, especially the cornerback position, they took some hits with the depth, which was shaky to begin with. still a lot of work to be done there. I have a feeling, though, that Dave Gettleman and the personnel department are going to be actively scanning that waiver wire, looking for guys once they are cut. Because, you know, again, I don't want to push the panic button after one game, but we've seen this in practice as well. So it's not like, you know, they were practicing well and they just, you know, kind of wet the bed in this one game. This has kind of been going on for going back to the spring. So we will see how it plays out. Maybe the next game they'll be a little bit more cohesive. Maybe in the next game they'll get some guys back. Who knows? But I was alarmed slightly by what I saw from the secondary last night.
Patty, let's talk quickly also about special teams. And, you know, I want to make a little bit of an observation, you know, after watching the game last night about the Giants when it comes to their return game. I mean, first of all, we saw Hunter Sharp get the first opportunity, you know, as both the kickoff and the punt returner. And I had one nice kickoff return where he bounced off a couple of guys and broke free. You know, but otherwise, both he and Khalif Raymond were pretty much, you know, pretty much bottled up, pretty ineffective, you know, when it came to the return game. But the real observation that I wanted to make was, you know, the Giants spent a lot of, they put a lot of effort into bringing in guys that have played a lot of special teams, guys that have done that well over, you know, over the course of their careers. And I don't know if you noticed it last night, but every time the Giants returned a kickoff or returned a punt, their returners were swarmed. And every time the Browns returned a kickoff, there wasn't a Giant near the return man until about the 25-yard line. And that bothered me just in terms of the blocking, you know, for the returns and the coverage of the kicks themselves.
Yeah, that was a concern of mine as well. I thought that the coverage was not as sharp as we had hoped it would be. I don't know if that's a function of the fact that you had a lot of guys in there who maybe won't be on the roster come September, but certainly they have to do a better job with the coverage because, you know, you cannot lose the field position battle and expect to win the game. It just doesn't work that way. The one good thing, obviously, I think we have to talk about real quick, was the play on one coverage, you know, the punt coverage, where Kerry Wynn hustled down the field. And by the way, Kerry Wynn was hands down my star player of the game last night. With all due apologies to Saquon for the one run, I thought Kerry Wynn had a quiet but effective game. He on defense and also on special teams, he caused that muff pump, and then Zach Diossi pounced on it, and that helped to set up the Giants' lone touchdown drive. So, you know, that was nice to see because, you know, last year, if you think back, how many times did we see it reverse where the Giants were the ones playing the Keystone Cop routine on special teams and you know, losing out on stuff like that?
You know, Kerry Wynn is another one of those guys who provides, you know, some quality depth. He's a good guy in the locker room. You know, he plays hard. He always plays with effort. You know, he'll be part of that rotation, and you're absolutely right. It's nice to see a play get made on special teams, you know, but, you know, as we said, you know, some of the things like the blocking and the coverage and those things are work in progress, just like a lot of other things, like the quarterback play and the offensive line play and the depth at corner. So preseason is underway, Patty. Giants have a couple of practices this week. Then they head to Detroit for joint practices, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I don't know if you, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing how those work out. Giants haven't done them in a while.
Yeah, me too. I think the last time they did the joint practices was, I want to say 2014 against the Bengals. I think that was the last time they had the joint practices. But look, it's a good opportunity because now you can also see how your team is doing in a controlled environment, whereas a game is not really controlled because you just don't know what you're going to get. You still have that controlled environment where you don't necessarily have to worry about somebody coming at one of your star players and knocking him into next week. So, you know, interesting time ahead. Unfortunately, I know I'm not making the trip to the to Detroit to see the practices. I don't believe you are as well, but certainly there'll be videos. I'm sure there'll be pictures, and we'll have our ways of, you know, taking a look and seeing what's going on. But it should be fun for the team, you know?
Sure. And we, you're right, Patty. We always have our ways, and you know, so we'll be doing our best both here at Locked On Giants and Patty, you with all of your work and all your myriad of places that you write for, and myself at Big Blue View, and so we'll be keeping you guys posted. As always, we thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.